Haftarah, the second day, Rosh Hashanah. The year after World War II, the Kleisenberger Rebbe had lost 12 children and his beloved wife in the war. And the Rebbe spoke to the Hasidim on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the new Hasidim that had joined up with him, the lost souls who were so broken, and he spoke on the Haftarah. And this is printed in Shefa Chaim, Me'adim Rosh Hashanah, the third drush on Rosh Hashanah. In the Haftarah, it says, Koyam Hashem, Koyel Berama Nishma, Nihi Bechi Samrurim, Rochel Mevaka Alboneho, Me'anel Hilochim Alboneho Ki'enenu. And he asked, why does it say Boneho twice? Rochel Mevaka Alboneho, Me'anel Hilochim Alboneho Ki'enenu. Rochel's crying for her children. She refuses to be comforted over her children because they're gone. Why does it say it twice? What's his double lashon? And then, of course, as the Nechama goes on, Koyamer Hashem, Nikolach Mibechi, Venach Midimah, Gieschalu Fulasech, and Om Hashem, Veshavu Meeretz Ayev. Even twice. Om Hashem twice. Hashem speaks and says, they will come back. And it says, Hashem speaks and says, they will come back to the Gvulam. They'll come back to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. What's his double lashon? So he says, a little bit based on Etzlach in Drushes for Rosh Hashanah, that this pasuk is actually Rachel Imenu, which according to Kabbalah is speaking about the Shechina HaKadosha, like we said in the previous year, but even Kipshutai, is referring to two types of crying she is doing. Two types of tzar that the Shechina, two types of tzar that Rachel Imenu cries over her children. One, Rachel Mavak Albanel Kipshutai, for the tzaris. B'chol tzarasam loy tzar. Whenever Klai Yisrael is having tzara, Rachel feels the tzara, the Shechina feels the tzara. The Gemara says, when Bezman Sha'adim Mitzdar, Shechina Ma'a Lashon Neymeres, Kalani Miroishi, Kalani Mizroi, Kabi Yochol, the Shechina says, my head's hurting me, my arm's hurting me. So this is the physical tzar for all the Yidden and all the Dairis, the Crusades, the Cossacks, Spanish Inquisition, all the Churbanos, the last great Churban, the ongoing Tzaris that Klal Yisrael have right now, nowadays, people being killed, destroyed. That itself is one type of Tzara. And that's the physical, simple kind that Rachel cries over. Rachel Mavak al Baneho. However, those Baneho that get killed and that suffered and were tortured in the gas chambers and were tortured on the experimental confession chambers of the Spanish Inquisition, they suffered. But when they finished suffering, the next moment, they were in Gan Eden forever. And the suffering that they had, as terrible as it was, as cruel and barbaric as it was minuscule compared to one moment of Gan Eden, and they have Gan Eden forever and ever. But that's one type of tzara. But there's a much, much bigger tzara. Much worse. The second one is, Me'anol hinochem al-baneho ki'enenu. That is, Yidden who are maybe alive, who are maybe breathing physically, but they're so, so lost, so gone. Me'anol hinochem al-baneho ki'enenu. See, the first baneho, says the Tzanzer Rebbe, the Kleisenberger Rebbe, he has no problem. She has no problem having nechama from. So she's crying alvanel, but she's able to take a nechama over them because we're able to have a nechama over people that pass away and die. Hashem made, like you know, Chazal say by Yosef, someone passes away and dies, he's able to feel comforting for them. But these second ones, she can't even get comforted. They're so gone. Me'ana li'nochem al-baneo ki'enena, said the Sanz Rebbe right after the war. They're not even banim anymore. They just lost their whole face of Yiddishkeit. They're not even banim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki'enena just doesn't mean they're just gone. They don't even seem like banim. So they might be alive. What's going to be with them? They can't, like this state, they can't go to Gan Eden. Nothing. They're just completely gone. That's the second type of crying. He says they've lost so much. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Pasuk says, In every city there'll be one or two people left. And Reish Lakish says it means literally. Literally, there'll only be one or two people left from every city. Berchanan says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to say it like that. It's not good. It just means, it means a whole different thing. One person from a city can be zakah the whole city. And the schus of one person or two people can save the whole city. So Tzlach explains this machlaikis. That really they're not arguing. Depends what's going on. Tzlach says, if the people that are left are banim, one or two banim left, so even though they may be the only ones that are left, but they care about each other, and even though so many yidden are lost, they'll feel connected, they'll bring them back, these are my brothers, they feel a connection, they want to get reunited with them. But if someone is lost, and the only one that's left is just someone who's just, he's just not a, lost the title of a ben, he doesn't even feel connected to anybody else anymore, so he is literally lost, and everybody else in the city is not connected to him. So the Tzanzer Rebbe says, right after the war, he says, comes Mitzotia Shaifer, which the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Dalet, is all about crying. The Trua is crying, like we said in the previous year. Genuchi Ganach, Yiluli Yalil. It's just crying about the tzaras that happened. But more than that, it's crying about the Chatoyim and Avonis, which cause the crying. Rashiva Rebel Pervarsky, Badal Chaim Taivim, says in Eicha, Nafla Ateris Reshenu, our base Mikdash has fallen, he says in his Pirush in Eicha. Oinalanu, woe to us. No, that's not what the pasuk says. Pasuk says, Oinalanu kichatanu. Beis Mikdash has fallen, but woe to us who we caused this all to happen. Kichatanu. So this is the different types of crying that the Shofar tells us. Crying for the people that were killed, people that were hurt, people that were tortured, the Yidden who suffered so much, who endured so much, Leman Shemai Yisbarach. But there's even a greater crying for those that are just so lost and so gone. And we wonder what's going to be with those Yidden. And Rachel's crying. Me'anali Yimelchim Halbaneo. The ones that are alive, Ki'enenu. Because they're not connected. There's nothing with them. So we cry for those that were killed at Kiddush Hashem. But the sons of Tzanzer Rebbe, his Chassidim, his new Chassidim, in the year 1946, he turns to them and he says to them on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, our hearts are even more broken about the apicorsis, which is going on in the world, and destroying people even more than Hitler does. And he mentions Hitler's name. He says, Hitler killed. But Chazal tell us, and Mashi brings this in Parshas, Kisei, just a few weeks ago, Godol ha-machtiyo yoyser min ahargoy. Because, Mashi says, Mitzrayim was killing Bnei Yisrael, so yes, they're not, they become Gerim, they can't join the Jewish people for three generations. But Amin and Moiv were machtiyos, who causes the sin, forever are us, it's considered much worse. That's considered the biggest tragedy of them all. He says, we're not used to it. People don't think like it. People's heads don't work like that. You always think, I don't know, at least this person's alive, whatever, there's hope. What hope is there when the person's so gone, so lost? So Rabbi Yishalom answers and he says, Mini kolech mi bachi, ve'inayich mi dimo, v'shavu mi eretz ayiv. And this is referring to the first group. Hashem says, "Will be chias ha-mesem," wherever the Yidden are being abused and hurt in different places, they'll be able to come back. They'll be able to come back. They were sent away, they were cast away, but they'll be able to come back. But what about the second group? The Rabbi Yishlam says the second of all, "V'shavu vanam legvulam." They'll come back to the boundary of being a Yid. There'll be a day when they're going to also come back. So we do tshuva, then we're zeichet to have a comeback on our own. But if not, chas v'shalom. That the Rabbi Yishlam has to be Melech Kasha Kahaman Chas Hashem. In the Sefer V'Tamudai Miyadai from Rabbi Chmiel Kram Zechazal Gevracha, who was Nifter this past year, I don't think it's a year yet, he brings this Maimer from Chazim Rebbe, a little bit shorter. I looked it up in its source and I found it a little bit more in detail. And he brings a couple of stories to illustrate how much the Gedolei Yisrael literally considered it worse, someone who had a religious issue, a richniistic issue, than a physical issue. I'll share with you a few of the stories. He says, after the middle of the war, middle of World War II, there were Yidden being brought to England. Little kids were being brought to England, you know, on kinder transport. Other ways, Yidden were being brought in as England was being bombed. My wife Zayda was Zaycha with his family to be saved through the kinder transport. Now, when they came to England, people were sent to different types of families. It depended on a lot of mazel. Even if you had a frum background, they might send you to a non-frum place. And of course, everything was based on funding. So the frum oilam came to Rav Chatzkel Abramsky, the famous Chazon Yechas called Talmud Rav Chaim Brisker. Well, the end of his life was Rav and Bayit Vegani Yerushalayim, but then he was Rav in London. They came to him and they said, we have a problem with money. We're running out of funds. We cannot adopt any more frum kids. We don't have money to support it, to give them to a family. You have to have money to support them. So Rabbi Rapsi said, nobody, you have nothing left. No, nobody you didn't go to. No Jews you didn't try. He said, there's this one guy we didn't try. He was knighted, Lord something or another. I don't know what his name was. He says he's very, very not religious fellow. He's not interested in anything to do with Yiddishkeit. And we tell him that we need to send him to make sure these families, these kids end up by Orthodox families. He's not going to be interested. Rabbi Ramsky said, I'm going to try. Rabbi Ramsky went to this fellow's house. He knocked on the door. He made an appointment by phone. And he came. And Rabbi Ramsky started speaking right away. He said, listen, we have these kids that are roaming around. If we don't put them by frum families, then we're not going to save them. And it's mamish hatzalas nefashis. Because hatzalas nefashis means save his nefesh. Save his spiritual life. And even though they were physically saved from the war, but if they go off the derech, said Rabbi Bransky, it's worse, and it would have been better for them to have been killed by Hitler. I'm not making this up. So the guy got all upset at him. He said, Rabbi, I know a little bit about Yiddishkeit, I know a little Hebrew, I know what Hatzalat Nefashot means. Hatzalat Nefashot means to save their lives, and their lives are saved. You want to put them into religious school? That's your issue. Nothing to do with saving lives. Don't waste my time. And he basically kicked Rabbi Bramsky out of the house. This was a Friday morning. Late that Friday night, Leil Shabbos Kriyish, 11 o'clock at night, in this fellow's house, this rich man, Lord, whatever his name was, in London, his phone rang, and this guy was a Machal Shabbos. He picked up the phone. He says, hello. Well, I don't know how you say hello in London. In England, you say hello or something like that. And who's on the phone? Rav Abramsky, you spoke to him earlier. Abramsky said, this is Dayan Yechaskel Abramsky. I'm calling you on Shabbos because I want you to understand that the only thing that I'll be Machal Shabbos for in my life is Pikuach Nefesh. And this is Pikuach Nefesh for these Neshamas. It's Pikuach Nefesh. It's worse than having gotten killed, the possibility of having gotten killed, is to go off a derech. And this guy was obviously shaken up. He said, okay, I'll be in touch with you. How much money do you need? Rabbi Bramsky told him the amount that he needed right then to continue the programs that they had to adopt boys and girls that were coming over from war-torn Europe into London, which was pretty war-torn itself. Mighty Shabbos, this fellow came over and gave one full check to Rabbi Bramsky on that entire amount. So this is showing the Gdolei Yisrael, how they looked at someone who's off. And they said, this is a person, that's Chas V'Shalom, Einenu. That's somebody we have to really, really cry about. Go to another story. Here is a story. Another story with Rabbi Bramsky himself. Somebody once came to Rabbi Bramsky, and he said, you know, I have a problem. I'm learning in the Chumash about the Ben Sayru Umayra, and it says the parents bring him over to the Beis Din because he's rebellious, and they kill him. What is that? What is that all about? How would that ever happen? Which parents would ever bring their children over to be killed? I find it a little bit difficult to accept. Rabbi Bramsky said to him as follows: why are you so inspired? Why are you so impressed? What do you think the big deal is? I had a story like this in my own Beis Din. The guy said, what? Rabbi, you had a Ben Sori, Ben Sori Amar, said, I had a much stronger story. And he told him the following. He said, a woman came in and asked me for my son to die. Back when I was in, where was he before? In Rosh Hashanah, I don't know what city. He said, a woman came to me and asked my son to die. Daven for me, Rabbi, daven, my son should die. So I said, what are you talking about? She explained to me, my son just got drawn up into the draft. And if he goes off into the Russian army, he's for sure going to lose his Yiddishkeit. So do me a favor. He's a good frum boy today. He's a good boy, my son. Please. Mutav sheyomu zakai v'ayomu schayev. So why are you all impressed with Ben Sayer and Maris, Rabbi Bramsky? Now I'll tell you a little bit about the Chazon Ish. Here was a few stories, just a little bit, the stories of the Chazon Ish. Somebody came into the Chazon Ish, a principal of a school, and said that a boy was caught stealing. So he said, this boy was caught stealing. We want to kick him out of our Torah institution. I don't know if it was elementary school or high school. I don't know exactly what it was. So are we allowed to kick him out? The Chaznis said to him back, said back to this principal, have you ever spoken Lashon Hara in your life? Were you kicked out of the school for your time when you spoke Lashon Hara? Is there a difference between the two Averis? He absolutely does not have to be kicked out because he stole. We don't send someone off to Derech because he did something like that. Another time he was asked about sending a boy out of a yeshiva, out of a school, excuse me. He said to kick someone out, we need a basin of 23 because it's like killing him to decide if we're going to do it or not. We don't have it nowadays. Those are the words of the Chazon Ish. One more story about the Chazon Ish. Rav Shlomo Kohen, who was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, came into the Chazon Ish and he told the Chazon Ish he's shaking about all the reports about Yidden being killed in Europe, right at the end of the war. And he was mamish terrified. He said, what's going to be with the Yidden that are being killed? Chazon Ish interrupted me, said Rav Shlomo Kohen. And he said to me, and why aren't you concerned about the tens of thousands of Yiddish kinders who are being taught api courses every single day, which is burning their neshamas? This is more important, said the Chazon Ish, than the fact that they're being killed by Arabs or being killed by European Christians, because their neshamas are being destroyed. It's worse. Chachamim say, said the Chazon Ish, Gadol hamachtiya yoyser mihargoy. So this is the tears of Rachel Imenu. She cries twice. Once she cries for Racham Avaka al Baneho, those are the ones who are being tortured and hurt and put through all different types of torture and inquisitions and pogroms that Yidden have gone through. But there's something that's even worse than that. That's the Me'anol Hinochem al Baneho ki einenu, because maybe they're walking around but she doesn't even recognize them. What happened to them? They're not even going to be able to go to Gan Eden the way they are. So Rabbi Yishlan gives a double nechama for those also. So this is really what we have to be thinking about when we daven. We need to be thinking about all the Yidden who are so vayt from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who are so lost or so gone. B'spal about chaveiro hudin etchila. We should care about it. Help what we can. Get involved. Give money if there's an opportunity to help the people. But of course to be caring about it and realizing and having the right hashkafa. Because people don't think like that. If I'm not mistaken, very recently in Eretz Yisrael, so a big Rosh Yeshiva spoke about this in his yeshiva. And he said that people are all excited about certain leaders in the government. They say, oh, this guy is better, worse. He said, if this person is Chas V'Shalom, being Machti Yisarbabim, that he could be considered worse Chas V'Shalom than someone who actually would go along and kill. So there's two dinim. There's a din of Racham Avaka al Baneho. But then there's a second thing of Me'anel Hinochim al Baneho Keinenu. The Rabbi Hashem should help. We should be Zoiche to all the Nechamas should come true. The Nechamas which we hear on Rosh Hashanah. Mini Kalech Mibechi, Benayach Midima. Because the Banim are going to come back to Artsam, but also those other lost ones. Vashavu Banim Legvulam. We'll be Zoiche to all come back to Eretz Yisrael together, united with Achtus, Bimheir V'Yameinu, Ksiva V'Chasim V'Toyva.